Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for those who made professions of faith this week and pray that you would help them to go on in the faith and to grow and become what you want them to be. Lord, then there are many prayer requests here we have today. Think of Ms. Jones. We pray that you would guide and direct in her life there at Johnson City. Think of Brenda today as they are continuing to run tests on these masks there on her brain, on her lungs. Lord, just give the doctors wisdom to know what to do and really minister to the family at this time. Lord, we also think of Ben, who'll be traveling back from England, and Lakeisha, she'll be traveling to Africa. Just give these folks safety as they travel, as they fly, and minister to them. Lord, for Maxie, as she's going to Nashville tomorrow, we pray you'd give the doctors wisdom to know how to help her, that she might be able to take care of this pain she's been having. And for Rachel, she has a PET scan. We pray she'd continue to get good results, and Lord, you'd continue to minister in her life. I think of Rosemary with the broken foot and John's mom. They just really don't know what to do to help her, and Lord, I pray you'd guide the doctors there. Think of Jacob and Joshua today and Joseph, God, that you'd work in their hearts, that they would by faith receive the truth. Lord, think of other needs that we've talked about. Diana, she'll be having some tests Friday. God, you know the need there. And Lord, just ask you to minister in each heart and life. And the Lord bless our time this morning as we open your word. Speak to our hearts. We need to hear from heaven. And we pray you'd speak to us and help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in college, I had a professor that every Friday would say, take out a half sheet of paper. You know what that meant? Quiz time. That's exactly right. Now it's quiz time this morning. But the good news is you don't have to write it down. I'm going to have you do it in your head. We're going to do a little spiritual survey this morning, a little spiritual test. And I'm going to give you four different questions and give you four answers that are possibilities. Each answer has a point value. Now, you're going to have to be sharp this morning. You're going to have to keep the point value in your head. Can you do that? I thought about printing this out, but I thought, you know, some of you are going to cheat on your neighbor. You know, some of you aren't going to be honest because your husband or wife's looking. So you do it in your head. Here we go. Number one. How often do you attend church? Number one, every time the doors are open, that's worth 5 points. B, almost all the time, that's worth 4 points. When you feel like it, that's worth 2 points. And when your husband or wife makes you, that's worth 1 point, okay? All right, you got it? All right, number two. Now, you got to remember that number, okay? All right, here we go. Number two, how often do you read your Bible? I read it every day. That's worth 5 points. Almost every day is 4 points. On Sundays, 2 points. When you know the pastor's coming for a visit, that's worth 1 point. Okay? All right? So you should have two numbers you've totaled up so far. Number three, rate your prayer life. I pray daily. I see the Lord answering prayers. That's 5 points. I pray when I have big problems. That's 4 points. I pray at my meals. That's 2 points. That's pray at my meals only. My main prayer is, now I lay me down to sleep. That's only worth 1 point. So. Number four, okay? This is the last one. Rate your witnessing. I consistently hand out tracts. I'm trying to win people to Christ. That's worth 5 points. I consistently leave a track with my tip. I had 4 points, but really that should just be 3 points. We'll just give you three for that. I give out a tract or two whenever the pastor preaches on it. That's worth 2 points. And then finally, once I slipped a tract in a coworker's pocket when they weren't looking, that's worth 1 point. All right, so you've got four things. If you had 20, you were in line for sainthood, and you're just ready to go on to heaven, okay? Now, obviously, some of that's serious, some of it's not quite so serious. All of those are, of course, external things. By the way, it's possible to do all those things external. Well, I don't guess it is. I don't guess. Scratch that. But the whole point is we as believers should be growing spiritually. In fact, if you have not grown in a year, in this last year, you're in big trouble. In fact, it's not possible to just stay on the level. You're either growing spiritually or you're declining spiritually. And some time ago, I was reading in Hebrews chapter 6. You can turn to Hebrews 6. And a phrase jumped out at me. And that is the title of our lesson today. And the phrase is found in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. And it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, here's the phrase, let us go on. That's my topic this morning. Let us go on. Now, my subtitle, for those that are can handle it, is quit being a baby. Okay? Let us go on. And my encouragement for you this morning is for you to become discontent with your present spiritual condition and desire to grow. And that desire to grow becomes action, and you actually do grow. Okay? Are you growing as a believer? I've visited in several of your homes in the past, and some of you, I've gone in your home and I've seen a doorpost, and on that door, on the frame there, there's some marks and some dates. How many of you had that in your house? All right. Now, the whole point of that is, as your child, every year or every birthday or something, you have your child back up the door frame and you put a mark over their head, you put the date, and your child is growing. What would happen if, when your child was 5, you marked that door, and then when they came back and they were 6, you had them back up and it was the same? And when they came and they were 7 and they backed up to that door, the mark was the same. And when they were 8, that mark was the same. What would you do? You'd be very concerned, and you'd take your child to the doctor and say, hey, my child is not growing. What's going on? And yet I am afraid that if I were to take you spiritually and back you up the door right here, every year some of us are going like this and like this and like this and maybe even like this. Now, the simple matter of fact is, as a believer, spiritually, every day, every year, we ought to be growing spiritually. We ought to be becoming more like Christ all the time. We need to be going on, okay? Now, let's look at the passage. The first thing I want to see is the record of their lack of growth in chapter 5, verse 11. Chapter 5, verse 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So here we have some folks, and the writer of Hebrews comes along and he said, look, you have been saved for some time. Let's just find out, just out of curiosity, how many of you have been saved for 40 years or longer? 40 years or longer. Oh my, quite a few. How many have been saved for 30 years or longer? How about 20? 20 years or longer. Okay? 15 years or longer. 10? 10 years or longer. 5 years or longer. Okay, less than 5. Maybe less than 5? All right, good. All right, by the way, I'm talking about spiritual growth here. This is not the lesson, but to have spiritual growth, you have to have spiritual what? Life. Yeah, you must be born again. If you're here this morning and you don't have spiritual life, you can't grow spiritually. It's not possible. You need to be born again. But the majority of you are raising your hand saying you've been born again. And he says, look, in verse 12, for the time you ought to be teachers. What is he saying? Look, you folks have been saved for some time. Some of you here have been saved 40, 50, maybe 60 years. You're not newborn Christians. And he said, because of that, there ought to be spiritual growth in your life. He said, you folks are dull of hearing, verse 11, and he said, you need someone to continue to teach you the principles or the base things, the foundational truths of the Word of God. Now look, as a believer, you should be growing. You should be maturing in the things of God. Your spiritual understanding ought to be greater now than it used to be. This is an interesting word in verse 14. He says, by reason of use have their senses exercised. You know what that word is? Any guesses? We have one here. We don't call it, we call it the
Family Life Center.
Sounds much more spiritual than gymnasium. But that's what it is, and that's what the word is. And as you grow spiritually, you exercise your spiritual discernment, and you grow, and you grow, and you grow, you become to maturity. And he said, look, you folks know enough that you ought to be spiritual teachers. I mean, you've been saved long enough that you ought to be teaching somebody else, and instead, we're having to teach you and go back to the fundamentals, the basics, over and over and over again. He said, you have not grown. He said in verse 11, you're dull of hearing. That word means hard to move. Have you met people who are professed Christians, been saved for a long time, and their theme song is, I shall not be moved? There are people like that, you know. And they're saved and they're satisfied and they're petrified and they're just going to sit there and there's just nothing going on spiritually. And he said, this is your position here. In fact, it's interesting. In verse 10 of that chapter, he's talking about Christ being in the order of Melchizedek. And he says, you know what? I want to tell you about this. I want to teach you about Melchizedek. Now, would you say that Melchizedek is one of the deeper things of the Word of God? I would. In fact, if you can explain it to me, I'd appreciate it. Okay? That's one of the deeper things. And Paul, or the writer, says, look, I want to come to you, and I want to teach you these things, but you're dull of hearing. You've not grown. You don't have the spiritual understanding to learn these things. You're still spiritual babies. Oh, this is a great time for me to talk about my grandbaby. I hadn't thought, it's not in my notes here. When Lily was with us for a week, boy, that feeding was crucial, wasn't it? And we had some great meals. We had turkey, we had ham, but Lily didn't eat any of that. I couldn't believe it. I don't know what's wrong with her. She's just sucking on that crazy bottle all the time. Now, she's only, 9 months old. You kind of expect that of a 9 month. But now, if Lily keeps coming back to our house and visiting us, and we go to see her, and she's 5 and she's 6, and all she's doing is sucking on a bottle, we got problems. But you know what we got in the church, I'm afraid? We've got a lot of believers who have been saved for years, and they're still sucking on the bottle. They're still wanting the meat, the milk. The milk, that's all they want. Now, I don't know about you, but I like a good steak. Don't you? Are you a man? Hallelujah. Nothing like a good steak, I tell you what. Well, you know what? Spiritually, when you first get saved, you ought to want that milk. The Bible says, as newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the words, you may grow thereby. You want that. But hallelujah, folks, there ought to be a time when you get into the deeper things of the Word of God. And he said, look, I'm writing to you people, and you just haven't grown. You haven't grown. Now, he's going to tell us here in chapter 6 what these foundational things are. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But he said, look, you've been saved for a long time. And you're still dull of hearing. You're still only able to handle the milk of the Word of God. You've not exercised yourself spiritually, so you've not grown. There's no spiritual growth. Now let me ask you a question. Are you growing spiritually? Are you seeing advances in your life spiritually, in your prayer life, in your Bible reading, in your witnessing, in your Christ-likeness? Paul said, look, folks, you're not growing. Now, secondly, his response to their lack of growth. All right, chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying in the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, on the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, I mentioned early on, he said, look, the basic things are good. You got to know those. But you got to move on. You need to grow. And he lists those things for us here. The doctrine of Christ. What is that? What's the doctrine of Christ? That he is God. That he left heaven's glory. That he took upon himself the form of a man. He was born of a virgin. He lived 33 years, a perfect life. He died to pay for our sins. Now that's foundational. That is essential. As I was talking to Steve on Thursday, that was what we talked about. I'm sure he's heard it before, but she said, "I just can't believe that God would do that for me." Now that's foundational. We do need that. If you're here today and not sure of heaven, that's what you need. Christ died for you to pay for your sins. But if you're a child of God, that's foundational. You need to go on. He said not only that. He said the doctrines of Christ. But look what else he talked about. He said laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, turning from sin to Christ. By the way, I do not believe in a work salvation. I don't believe you have to do something to be saved. But I do believe in a salvation that works. And I'm afraid that sometimes we are giving people a counterfeit. There does need to be repentance, a turning from sin. You see, look, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. And I'm going to hang on to this vice and this wickedness and this stuff and this stuff and this stuff. I'm going to keep doing all that. And I'm just going to add Christ. I'm just going to trust Christ. Now, folks, that's not real salvation. Real salvation said, you know what? This stuff is wrong. And I'm turning from it. I'm turning to Christ. And I'm placing my faith in Christ. That's when real salvation. Now, again, I'm not preaching lordship salvation. I know there's a fine line here. And we got to be careful. But I'm afraid that what we've done today is we say, you know, keep your music, keep your dress standard, or the lack thereof, you know, keep this and keep that and keep your drinking and keep your smoking and keep your gambling and keep your womanizing and your whoremongering. Just keep all that stuff, your wicked entertainment, and just believe Christ and ask Him to save and He will. I really think that's another gospel, folks. That is not the gospel of the Word of God. There is repentance involved. Then he said, look, faith toward God. How do you get saved? Well, by faith, by trusting in Christ. The doctrine of baptism, that's a foundational. When do we teach people about baptism? When they get saved, after they get saved. He said, look, you guys have been saved for years. We're still talking about the same things because you haven't got it. He said, the laying on of hands, that's giftedness for service, the resurrection of the dead, the eternal judgment. He said, look, we're still talking about the same things, folks. We need to go on. Now, this is an interesting word. This let us go on is actually a passive word. Something is acting on you. Remember the storm in Acts chapter 27? One of my favorite words in the Bible.
Euroclidon.
Isn't that a great word? I heard someone say, call it Euroclidean. I said, no. It's Euroclidon. I mean, let's get the word right here. At least that's the Seaman translation. Euroclidon. And it said, when the storm got so bad, what did they do? They let her drive. It's the same word. They let her drive. It was blown by the wind. He said, look, folks, you need to let God work in your life and move you and change you and help you to grow. Talk more about that tonight. But he said, we need to go on to perfection. Now, what does that mean? Maturity. We need to grow to maturity as a believer. Okay? Now, let me talk to you about some specific areas that we should be growing in. Number one, we ought to be growing in our scripture knowledge. What do you really know about the Word of God? Now, if I were to come to you and say, well, quote me a verse. Oh, John 3:16. Well, now that's okay, and it's good to know John 3:16, but if you've been saved for 40 years and all you can quote is John 3:16, we got problems. Well, tell me about the Word of God. Well, I think there's 66 books. I'm not sure. And, tell me about the book of Acts. Well, it's in the Bible. And, how long have you been saved? Well, I've been saved 40 years, you know. Now, folks, look, if you've been saved for 40 years, you ought to know the Word of God pretty well. You ought to know the Word of God. You ought to know what the Word of God says. You should know what you believe, and you should know why you believe it. We believe in a literal resurrection for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you prove it from Scripture? We believe the next great event prophetically is the rapture. Can you show me that from the Word of God? We do not believe that people after the rapture occurs, they've heard the gospel before the rapture, will have opportunity to be saved after the rapture. Can you prove that from Scripture? We do not believe that baptism saves. Can you show me that in Scripture? We believe it is faith in Christ and Christ alone that will get you to heaven. Can you prove that from Scripture? Well, Pastor Jody said, the Word of God says we should be able to give an answer of every man that asketh of the hope that lieth within us. Can you do that? We ought to be growing in our Scripture knowledge. You know, we ought to be growing also in, secondly, in our prayer life, our supplication. Now, when you first got saved, or even as a child, your prayer life was what? Now I lay me down to sleep. Or, God is good, God is great, and we thank, is that how it goes? And we thank Him for this food. Now look, that's okay when you're newly saved. But you've been saved for 30 years and you're still praying, God is good, God is great, and we can, now I lay me down to sleep. We got problems. It's cute on a new believer. It ain't so cute on someone who's been saved 30 years, say. Is your prayer life growing? I mean, are you able to get in touch with God? See God answer prayer? Is the time of your prayer life growing? I spend 5 minutes a day in prayer, before breakfast, before lunch, and before supper. And I've only been saved 40 years. Folks, we ought to be growing spiritually in our supplication, our prayer life. We ought to be growing in our separation. Again, a new believer is going to probably look like the world and act like the world and smell like the world and all those things. And that's understandable. They're a new believer. But if they've been saved 20 years and they still look like the world, smell like the world, act like the world, do what the world does, we've not grown. We ought to be different. We ought to be growing. We ought to be maturing. We ought to have some discernment about spiritual things. I'm often amazed when periodically we have people leave our church and I see where they go to church and I think, what? I remember years ago, a family left our church and they went to First Baptist in Kingsport, and I thought, how in the world can you do that? At the time, the pastor there did not believe in that the blood was necessary to wash away sin. And I thought, whoa, we've had people leave our church and go to a Christian church where they believe in baptismal regeneration. And I think, and everything that comes down the pike that looks good is wonderful. This is that, by the way, this is that exercising discernment. You know, I think probably one of Preacher Lastly's greatest gifts was his ability to discern. I mean, I tell you what, it may look like a kitty cat to you, but Preacher Lastly knew it was a skunk. And I was amazed over the years. At times he'd say to me, now, Gary, that person. And I said, oh, come on, Preacher. And you wait about 6 months. Yep. Sure enough. And by the way, that's exactly what our church needed during his time, that great spiritual discernment. He's fighting a lot of battles. You ought to be growing in our separation, our discernment. We ought to be growing in our spirit control. You know, when a person gets saved, they don't understand about the Spirit of God. Did you? Did you know that the Spirit of God was convicting you and drawing you and to salvation? No. And you begin to learn that as a believer, but man, as a believer, you've been saved 20, 30 years, you ought to be very aware of the work of the Spirit of God. that the Spirit of God is saying, hey, don't do that, do this. And He's working in your life, and you know the Spirit of God when He's talking to you and when He's leading you. I mean, that ought to be going on in your life. It ought to be happening. We ought to be maturing. Boy, think about going on in our service for God. Say, well, I've been at this church 30 years, sitting in this chair right here. Yeah, see, that's the problem. What are you doing? Now, again, we don't expect baby Christians to come in and be Sunday school teachers or bus captains or whatever. We've made that mistake at some points. We want them to grow and become what God wants them to be, and then they step in, they do something for God. What are you doing for God? We ought to be doing more for the Lord. Should we say, well, I'm 65 now, I'm going to hang it up? Well, hallelujah. Keep on growing. Keep on serving. Do more for the Lord now than you did last year. He said, I didn't do anything. Well, then that shouldn't be too hard, okay? All you got to do is something, and you got it made. We ought to be growing in our service. We ought to be growing in our sacrifice. We ought to be growing in our sacrifice. Continually giving to the Lord. Again, when a new believer gets saved, the first thing I say, now, Joe, you just got saved yesterday, buddy. I expect you to have your tithe and the offering plate Sunday. That's what I told Steve Thursday. That's why he's not here. No, you don't do that. But if he's been saved 10 or 15 years and he still isn't giving and tithing, giving to Faith Promise, giving to missions, special offerings, something's not right. You ought to be growing in your giving. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to conclude this thing here. Aren't you glad? 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to show the importance of spiritual growth in your life. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now in verses 1 through 4, we see these the people he's writing to their salvation. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus, of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now he said, look, you folks have been born again. God has given you everything. By the way, this is a great passage. I may teach on it sometime. God has given you everything you need to live the Christian life. All the promises are all there. Now, he says in verse 5, all right, God's giving you these basic things. Now look what you need to do. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. What's he saying? All right, you got saved, you got all the promises, you got all the stuff. Now you need to do what? Grow. Grow. Add. Grow. Okay? Now, let's continue on. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. There's two things I see here. If you don't grow, two things. What are they? Number one, you're barren. Spiritually. If you don't grow, you're not going to produce more fruit. Isn't it sad that there are people who have been saved 10, 15, 20, 30 years and they have never won a soul to Christ? Now, all of us could do a whole lot better than we're doing, undoubtedly. But there are probably people in this room and you've been saved 15, 10, 20, 30 years. And you've never personally led anyone to Christ. Why is that? Because you haven't grown. He said, look, if you don't grow, if you don't add these things, you're going to be barren and unfruitful. Now, but that's not the only fruit, by the way. There's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, all these things. Those should be happening in your life. And really, by the way, that should happen first. And when I start having all those things in my life, what's going to happen with my witnessing and my effectiveness? Boy, it's going to be great. That's a whole, another whole message. But he said, look, if you don't grow, you're not going to be fruitful. Now, that only makes sense, doesn't it? Because if as a new believer, you don't have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meek and all that stuff, you don't have all that when you first get saved. So as you grow, you're getting those things in your life. And he's saying, look, if you don't grow, you're going to be unfruitful. You're going to be barren. And not only that, notice the second thing. He says, verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. Now that's a neat word. That is an interesting word. Let's see. Jamie, you used to work in the eye field, didn't you? The word is myopic. Isn't that a great word? What does it mean? If a person is myopic, what is true about them? They are nearsighted or farsighted? Nearsighted. Which means that that always confused me. If you're nearsighted, it means you can't what? Can't see far away. All right? Aren't you glad you came this morning? The deep things, the Word of God. He said, look, if you don't grow, you're going to be nearsighted. Now, what's true about a nearsighted Christian? What's important? Me, myself, and I. The farsighted Christian is here to please the Lord and to serve the Lord. And he said, if you don't grow, you're going to be barren. You're going to be spiritually blind. In fact, back in the passage, it can get so bad in verse 9, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If you don't grow, you're not going to have any assurance of salvation. How can you? I mean, there's no signs that you've been changed. Now, he said, look, if you will grow, look, verse 10. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that what you want? An abundant entrance into heaven. Now, the only way you can have it, folks, is if you grow. Now, I told my lesson, my wife, I was teaching on this today, and she said, oh, that's a New Year's lesson, you need to wait. Well, I'm giving you a head start, okay? I don't know that I'm much on New Year's resolutions or anything, but here's a great one for you, okay? A real one. Lord, this year I want to grow spiritually. Now, I guess we need to stop real quickly and say, how do you do it? It's interesting to me that the marks of spiritual growth are the same things you need to do to grow. Okay, we said, how much do you go to church? How much do you read your Bible? How much do you pray? Those are all the ways you grow, aren't they? How do you grow spiritually? You get in this book and you study it and you read it and you meditate on it and you talk to God about it and you do it and you grow. And you feed yourself some meat, hallelujah, and you become what God wants you to be. Now, are you growing as a believer? If not, you got trouble coming. And unfortunately, when you stand before the Lord someday, you're going to stand there with empty hands. And he's going to say, wait, I gifted you to do this and to do that and to do this. Where are the talents that I gave you? What have you done with them? And you're going to say, oh, I didn't do anything. And there's barrenness. I don't know about you, but I want to grow. When this time next year rolls around, if we're still here, the rapture hadn't occurred, I want to be stronger spiritually then than I am today. I want to have a stronger prayer life than I have today. I want to have a greater affinity for the Word of God, greater knowledge, greater use of the Word of God. I want to have a closer walk with the Lord next year than I had this year. I want to win more people to Christ and do more for Christ next year than I did this last year. You know what's going to happen, folks, is if we grow. That's why we say, you know what? We're going to be here Sunday at 10 and 11 and 6:30 and Wednesday night at 7. And you ought to be here so you can get some spiritual food and grow. And you need to read the Bible every day. Why? So you can grow. And you need to spend time in prayer every day. Why? So you can grow. And you need to allow the Spirit of God to change you. Why? So you can grow and be what God wants you to be. Hallelujah, folks. Don't come back next year on the spiritual doorpost and say, boom, here I am. I'm still right here. And you know what? I've been here 30 years. Hey, let's make some growth, okay? Let's go on. Let us go on under perfection to maturity and be what God wants us to be, all right? Lord, this is my desire for my life. I need to grow. Oh, how I need to grow spiritually and become what you want me to be. And I pray that you would burden all of us to have the spiritual discipline to grow spiritually and become what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.